Hello, everybody. Lovely to see you all. It's too bad there's so many people. I can't see everybody who's here. I keep going between the screens, but then I get confused. I lose my train of thought, but it is lovely to see everybody here. So thanks for that introduction, Meta. Appreciate it. I'm always interested to see what information people have pulled up about me. Wait, I want to go away from speaker view because when it's speaker view, I'm just looking at me. I'd much rather see your lovely faces. So, although in the introduction, Metta spoke about how I'm quite committed and inspired by long-term intensive practice, which is true. I mean, I've been teaching these long retreats for 30 years. I am equally inspired, and I'd like to make it not two different things, by the style of natural awareness, receptive mindfulness, you could say, receptive awareness practice that I want to have us all share together in this weekend. I mean, not two separate things, of course, two different modalities of coming into awareness and waking up to the way things are and moving out of our habits of the mental habits of just going for what we want, running away from what we don't want, and basically in this push-pull and suffering by trying to be happy, by really coming to trust in the steadiness of awareness, in the willingness and ability to be just fully present with things as they are in this moment, not only in deep retreat, but now in our lives, making your tea, sitting here, really practicing together to recognize the simplicity and availability of balanced awareness throughout our life, throughout our daily activities. That to me is as equal in terms of waking up, freeing our hearts and minds from misperception and confusion. So I feel they were asking me earlier, you know, how do I feel about the online retreats? And yeah, frankly, I prefer in person, of course, maybe many of us do. But in a way, practicing together this weekend while you're, I imagine most of you are at home, wherever you are in some form of daily life activity. I'm at home. For this coming to really know and trust that awareness and the wisdom that steady awareness conditions to arise is available here, now, throughout activities, that it's not dependent on conditions that are so special and supportive and quiet. You know, we come from retreat, even though on retreats we say, take awareness into the world. The conditions on retreat are so specialized and very helpful that something hitting my mic. Okay, see, that's helpful. Okay, let me know if it keeps doing it. I don't know what's hitting it, probably my arm. Anyway, to really come to not just think theoretically, oh, I should be able to be mindful in daily life, right? But it's too hard. No, to start practicing it. The trust in it, the really deep trust that awareness is available and that steady awareness is a condition that brings our hearts and minds to freedom. That will come from your own practice, from your own understanding. And that's what's so great about having a weekend together at home. So I think it's perfect conditions, whatever's going on for you. So I want to say a little bit just about as container of the retreat, not exactly container because we're not separating it from whatever we're doing, but we are setting up this time together to hopefully support one another to remember, to recognize awareness again and again and again. So first, I just want to say, in terms of coming together, how you might approach this weekend in your own experience, in your heart and mind. Just to name it, meditation practice, awareness practice, wisdom practice is not somehow separate from the rest of our life. We don't practice in isolation. So as you know, I don't know if any people are brand new, but those, I recognize many names here who've been practicing for years. As you know, the Buddhist teaching is resting. No, it's just the same thing. Sorry, I get sidetracked. The Buddhist teaching is resting in the basket of how we live our life. Often talked about dana, sila, bhavana, generosity of mind, heart. Sila, non-harming, ethical conduct. Bhavana, mental cultivation, cultivating our heart and mind, cultivating the wholesome qualities, learning how not to feed the unwholesome, the greed, the confusion, the fear. And so just hopefully we live our lives this way, but it would be really supportive for each of us during this weekend if, to begin with, in your mind and heart, just make another commitment to non-harming behavior. You know, to the five basic precepts, just to committing to have the intention not to harm yourself or any living beings, not to kill, not to harm, to have the intention not to take whatever is not freely given. Great to live that way, but we can just bring that to the forefront of our intention for this week together. Sorry, other people are texting me now. That isn't so helpful. The third, sexual misconduct. So you're at home. We're certainly not going to take the celibacy precept, but to have the sense of not harming oneself or another with our sexual energy, of really respecting ourselves and others with our sexual energy. Of course, a beautiful way to live. The fourth, of not using speech in a way that's false, I mean, not lying, but watching that, not exaggerating, not just shading some little thing we say to our partner or our kids to just make ourselves look a little bit better. It's a fascinating practice to explore without making yourself right or wrong, but just explore non-harming speech, so not false speech, and not harsh speech, and not using speech to divide, you know, to talk bad about a third person can bring two people closer together, but in an unwholesome way. So bringing that in, and then the fifth precept, not using drugs or intoxicants to cloud the mind, like bring on heedlessness, carelessness. So certainly in terms of spending a weekend with yourself, your life, your experience, to keep recognizing the simplicity of awareness, it would be great if we could keep our hearts and minds clear. And I'm saying this, don't do it for me, but for your own self, it would be really supportive, you know. Not that 4 o'clock when it's over, we kick back and have a couple of martinis. There's nothing wrong with that, but it just wouldn't be the most helpful because the retreat isn't over at 4 o'clock. Awareness doesn't stop when we turn off the computer. That's what I really, the reason I want to share that this weekend is just to help us trust that, oh, I just have to remember awareness and it's relaxed and simple and available. It's a wonderful way to live, you know? So that's kind of the overview to take a sense of resting our weekend in non-harming behavior. Okay. Then the second piece is really to take a moment, if you would, even though we're not sitting yet, because I'll explain the practice a little, but just take a moment to tune into what inspires you, your aspiration, a sense of Oh no, we just sit down and she says this, and then we'll, you know, we'll follow the breath or we'll do whatever. It's like, why are you doing it? For yourself. You know, we often on retreat would start with taking the three refuges, refuge in the Buddha in awakening, refuge in the Dhamma, the truth of how things are, refuge in the Sangha, the mind stream of awakened beings, the Sangha, all of us together supporting one another with the intention of purifying our hearts and minds of awakening. That may not be the language or the concepts that inspire you. They work for me, but whatever does inspire you, if it's connecting, as many Tibetans do, connecting to a sense of the lineage of your teachers, of whatever inspires you to come to this practice, to want to awaken from confusion and greed to love and compassion and wisdom. So acknowledging that to ourselves when we begin the day, when we begin a sitting, it brings in a brightness of mind and energy and heart. It can do. And it can expand our sense of why we're doing it. It's not all about me, this little mind body, you know, which is a good reason to do it, but it's even more inspiring when we awakening this heart and mind can bring that to all beings with whom we come in contact. So just take a moment now to consciously connect to just simply why you're doing this. Honor that. Respect that. Let that remind us in times when we're like, ugh, this is too much. So, thank you for taking that time. Thank you for being here. So, I want to hopefully not talk too long, but give some sense of this style of, you could say, mindfulness practice, awareness becoming natural. Could call it receptive mindfulness, receptive awareness, the sense of relaxing with the presence into this moment, whatever it is that's happening. We're not trying to make something special happen, but we're bringing, recognizing awareness can be present with whatever's happening now, and taking that through the day. And you could say the essence of meditation, if we're not doing a concentration, one-pointed meditation, but even with that, but the essence of meditation is often said to be awareness. And for me, when I'm saying awareness now, I'm using it to mean mindfulness, which is that a quality of mind, very specific, of just being present with what's happening, just the knowing what's happening. But with balanced awareness, it's awareness without wanting things to be a certain way or judging or pushing away or comparing. It's like this now. It's like this now. It's like this now. You get a sense from the way I'm saying, it's not a stressful, forceful kind of practice. Each moment is very simple. But the strength of this mindfulness, this building, this recognizing the mindfulness comes from the steadiness again and again and again. But how can just this simple awareness be so helpful, be so powerful? I just want to read one little quotation. I was listening to a talk by Anam Tupten Rinpoche, who's a lovely Tibetan Lama who lives in the East Bay here in California. And he was giving us talk about, it was in the early days of the pandemic. Maybe you guys have calmed down there. It hasn't really calmed down here in the States for God knows a lot of reasons. But this was during the early days of the pandemic and people were pretty freaked out. So he was saying, we are easily, right now, he said, we're easily overwhelmed, pulled into a whirlpool of fear and worry and anxiety, you know, that's kind of swirling in the world, swirling in the environment, right? And that can still be true. You know, it's not only my anxiety, but it's like it's just really in the air, so to speak, because we're not separate beings. So he said we can easily get pulled into that. And when we're lost in it, just identified, lost in the swirling, the anxiety, or a resistance to anxiety, or trying to make it different, but somehow not just, oh, it's like this now, not recognizing awareness, lost in the anxiety. He goes on to say, we lose touch with our innate dignity, the dignity of awareness. And the dignity comes from being aware of what is, not from getting rid of the anxiety. So when we've lost touch, we lose touch with that awareness. We lose touch with our dignity. And with that, we lose touch with our access to love and compassion and wisdom. It's not that those are never available, but when we're losing recognizing awareness and we're just caught up in reacting and fighting and identifying with whatever it is that's occurring, we lose that dignity, that natural access to wisdom and compassion. So awareness, this simple resting at ease with wakeful interest, without judgment, just in this moment, incredibly powerful to free our hearts and minds from suffering and confusion. But it's no thing, you know, it's not a thing you can look at. Now I have awareness. It's just recognized by its activity. Very simple. So many of you are familiar with this simplicity of awareness, but let me just, right now, as you're sitting here listening to me, can you feel your hands? Shake your, no, I can see some of you, you can nod your head or shake your head. Can you just feel your hands? Right. You don't even, you can move them. Do you notice you're moving them? You don't have to move them, just however they are. You don't have to do anything special. Just as your hands are now, you feel them, right? Did that take much effort to do that? No. As soon as I mentioned, do you feel your hands? You could feel something, right? Some sensations, right? That's awareness. Do you recognize the difference? Probably those sensations were present, but you don't know because we weren't really aware of it. As soon as I say, feel your hands, that level of, you could say attention, presence, that's the cultivation, that's the simple awareness we're learning to recognize and cultivate this weekend. Do you see how simple that is? Do you get a sense of the difference between when you know the awareness is there and when you don't? Another example, are you aware now of hearing? As I'm talking, are you aware hearing is happening? Yeah. Before I said that, you were hearing, hopefully, but were you aware of the process of hearing before I asked you that question? Some yes, some no, some kind of yes, no. So now again, as I'm talking, let yourself just be aware that hearing's happening as I'm talking, right? You get a sense of that? Again, how much effort is required? Minimal, just remembering to be aware, but do you get a sense of the difference between when you know hearing is happening and the moment before hearing was happening, but there wasn't awareness of the hearing process that you knew? Do you get a sense of that difference? It's subtle, right? It's no big thing. And in fact, Mingyur Rinpoche says, part of our problem with recognizing when we're aware or recognizing awareness is that it's so easy. It's so simple and available that we completely overlook it most of the time. You know, we look at the thing that's happening, or we think if we're aware, it should be like somehow really this heightened experience. And when we on long retreats where there's a lot of focused concentration, the experience can get quite heightened. From concentration, it's easy to confuse that heightened experience with, quote, good mindfulness, It's not necessary. We think, well, so what? Now I know I'm hearing. Big whoop. What good does that do me? So in the moment, not so much. That's why the sense of this weekend, what I really want to support us to do, is keep remembering to just be aware of what's happening each moment, each moment. It takes practice just because we get lost in what's happening and the awareness isn't giving us big juice right away. We want some juice. We want some proof something's going on. We want to feel better. We want something. We don't want to just say, okay, I feel my hands and I know I'm hearing. My stomach's growling and I can hear it and I feel embarrassed and I can know that. Like, I want something better. Well, what we're here to do is just to keep recognizing the awareness without needing to make the experience itself better. This ends up being such a relief. It's so relaxing. We relax. Oh, what's happening now? Oh, I'm feeling tired. It's like this. And you recognize the awareness of being tired. Okay, the Velcro that made being tired a problem and me and it's unpleasant and what can I do? It's like, oh, I'm aware of I'm tired. It sounds like nothing until we experience it and trust it over and over through steady practice. It's everything. It completely changes the picture. It completely changes our life. I can't give this to you. It's not something to believe. So this is why we have this weekend to practice. So the first aspect of this type of awareness is that relax into what's happening just right now, feeling your body sitting there. That level of effort, right? The second aspect is with what we call right view, or Sayadaw Tejaniya likes to call it right attitude. It's what I alluded to, what's present. It's like this now. We're not here to judge or push away or try to make better. We're not here to try to change experience at all. It's this quality of relaxed being with what is. And this is right attitude, recognizing that whatever's occurring in this moment is basically a natural Dhamma. It's the Dhamma. Whatever's happening now is the result of all the previous causes that brought this moment together, right? In this exact present moment, we can't change it. And when we're meeting this moment with not liking it or judging it or it's not good enough, those qualities actually distort our perception and we can't even recognize what's happening in the present moment. So if it's something difficult, and we're not able to recognize what's actually happening, then we don't have a way to make an intelligent choice for how to meet the next moment, right? But if we're present with this receptive awareness, it's like this now. It's natural. It isn't personal. Then if there, we can kind of see what causes are leading to this condition, in the next moment, we may meet it in a more appropriate way than just hating it or blaming ourselves, you know. But this is why we practice, because these habits of taking, it's all personal. I like it, I don't like it. It should be this, it should be that. They're so deeply ingrained, they keep slipping in. So really all weekend, this is all we'll be doing, and I'll just keep blabbing, trying to remind us, oh, what's happening now? It's like this. And one of Sayadaw Tejaniya's books is called When Awareness Becomes Natural. Really, it's that awareness is available because it's so simple. What he means by when it becomes natural is that as we just give ourselves some time without a lot of other activity to practice being aware, recognizing awareness, we start to trust it more. And it does become more natural. You know, we're still pouring the tea. We still might be feeling in a hurry. That's what I was doing that this morning. I'm pouring the tea. Oh, I got a certain time frame. Feeling the tension. Oh yeah, awareness of that. I'm still pouring the tea. There's still a time frame. There's still a little tension. But the energy's in the awareness. And I can't tell, it makes a complete difference. Oh, it's like this now. That's the peace. That's the movement from reactivity to presence, to acceptance. So that's really what we're doing here together. So relax into how it is now. With this right attitude, which I'll talk more and more about oh, just awareness, noticing as it is, feeling it. And then because a moment of awareness isn't like pushing, isn't stressful, isn't striving, but the power comes from our just remembering throughout the whole day. Not just sitting, then go, space out, do a little walking, then go, space out. You know, because the mind, as I'm sure most of you know, the mind is not a steady state, right? Consciousness arises new in every moment, accompanied by whatever mental, physical components are arising in that moment. And as the Buddha described it, so there's a moment of consciousness. If I'm afraid, if there's strong fear in that moment of consciousness, that moment changes and new consciousness arises. But it's as if one moment, like the new moment has a legacy, you could say, from the moment before, right? So without any awareness, if I'm fearful, if there's strong fear in this moment, the next mind, a moment, it's much more likely that the fear can just carry over, right? Or the greed, or the metta, whatever it is, it's more easy to carry over. And because of that, as we begin to and continue to recognize and practice recognizing mindful awareness, that starts to more naturally arise in the next moment, in the next moment. And that's how it starts to become natural. And so really was really through this weekend, we have the structure of formal sittings together and walking periods or daily activity periods. That's to kind of just help us remember why we're doing this, to help us remember because we forget. That's the habit of mind. To help, oh yeah, right, recognize awareness just in this moment. But the periods that aren't on the schedule are equally, if not more important, because this is how we'll start to really know for ourselves, trust for yourself that this is available to us in all aspects of our life and activity. Yeah, it's harder to remember awareness when we're more active. That's absolutely true. And just to say, oh no, it's all equal, it's just not so. And we have to be really realistic about that. And so that's even on a weekend why I'm giving a structure, you know, so help us remember. But please take that remembering and when we're having lunch, or if you can't do a walking period because you have to go take care of your kids, or you have some activity you have to do because you're at home, that activity is your next mindfulness activity. And it doesn't mean you have to be incredibly mindful through all of it. I'll talk about that when we get to the walking. But just remembering. And this is not to do it right, not for me or for some kind of, you know, proving you're good. This is for yourself because this is where the real trust and faith arising from your own experience will come. Oh my God, it really is possible to remember awareness when I'm checking my email. It's harder. It doesn't feel like it does when I'm in strong concentration. Of course it doesn't. But you'll learn to recognize. You'll learn to trust it. That can only come from our own doing it, from our own experience. Right. So I hope I've given you a little pep talk here. That's what I'm trying to do. I think that's all I want to say right now. I'll keep giving reminders.